FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
This episode of the Financial Survival Network is brought to you in part by Sandstorm Gold Royalties. Sandstorm Gold Royalties is a different kind of gold company. They purchase royalties on select mining operations and receive a percentage of the revenue in return. Sandstorm now has a portfolio of over 185 gold royalties around the world. See how gold royalties differ from other gold mining investments at sandstormgold.com. That's sandstormgold.com. Sandstorm Gold Royalties trades on the TSX as SSL and on the New York Stock Exchange American as SAND.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. It's 10/29/18, just 2 days and 2 months to go till this year is over with. Hey, as always, join the party and write us kl@carrylutz.com. I'm a little bit behind right now, but I will catch up, I promise. So, hey, been watching these cannabis stocks like us, been watching them keenly. You saw a bit of a blowout take place, and no puns intended. And basically, prices tanked for a bit. Hey, very predictable. The thing was getting a little too frothy. But the fact is, we're still in an environment where supply is going to outstrip demand for at least a while. Hey, we saw full cannabis legalization to our friends in the north there, to the land up north, Canada. And that probably was a good time to unload because, well, it appears that it should have been bullish news for the market. In fact, that was the signal October 17th, you better lighten up your portfolio. And sure enough, so hey, Allison Ostrander, you are with us now from simplertrading.com. Great to have you back on.
Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, so look, we got Constellation Brands. They took a hit. Looking at the list of stocks that you gave me here, the ETF, it soared 46%. It's down. Aurora Cannabis, which really increased quite a bit, it's down. I mean, what is a cannabis investor to do?
Right. Yeah, it's definitely seen a downturn. And it's kind of like you mentioned, it was definitely a kind of buy the rumor, sell the news, or in this case, sell on the legalization date up in Canada. And what ended up happening is a lot of people were shorting the stocks due to the, you know, uncertainty of legalization and everything else. But there weren't that many stocks to short. And so what ended up happening is that the longs, the people that were holding on to these shares, were still driving the price up. And when they decided to go ahead and take their profits prior to that date occurring, that's what probably caused a bit more of a stronger volatile move back down to support levels. As of right now, for example, when I take a look at CGC on a weekly chart, we're getting right back down towards a healthy support level of the 30-day moving average. And then we could move a little bit lower, maybe around to $28. I see another support level at that point. But it's a healthy move back down. And if we're able to hold these levels, this might actually be a good time to look at jumping back in. So if you've already held the stock, my recommendation or my thoughts on it, if I held it, would be just continue to kind of sit tight and hold. If it has options against it and we do start to see it break these support levels, always look at selling some calls against it to help hedge your account. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, I'm still very much bullish the sector for a few years and times because we're seeing the world view start to change and talk about cannabis a bit more, both on a legalization round and recreational, but also on a medicinal level. And because of that, that to me still has me bullish overall the sector. And it definitely could be volatile like this, you know, for a few more years time as we're seeing more talk happen around the world. But I would, for me, if it can hold support levels, that's the opportunity to look at jumping back in.
And the trend, it isn't just in the U.S. and Canada, it's really all over the world. There's dozens of countries looking at legalization now. You know, my concern here, Allison, is that marijuana might not grow on trees, but it does. It is a weed, and it does grow on stalks. And once it's legal, if I've got 2,000 square feet or 500 square feet in my basement and I'm really talented, I too could be a producer. There's no way to restrict supply. The only way you can do it is through branding and governmental intervention. Look, if for the past 50 years, or rather, Prohibition ended in 1934, if for the past 84 years you were anybody could brew bathtub gin or moonshine any place, these brands would not have evolved the way they have. Okay, you wouldn't have your mega brands in spirits and such. Probably in wine you would have, because it was really more of a it's a subtle thing. Like, there's not uniformity of product for wine. For spirits, there is pure uniformity of product. It's like, do you like this single malt better than that? Do you like this cognac, the Napoleon, better than the XO? You know, there's pretty much uniformity, you know what I'm saying? So I don't believe that the government will effectively be able to freeze people out of production. And I, in the of the personal opinion, that branding is only going to go to the people who really are the masters of branding. And branding cannabis is like no other product we've ever seen.
I would definitely agree on that. If you go to markets where it's legal, you'll already start to see, you know, that start to occur around names of different genes of flowers and things like that. And what's interesting to me is we already know that companies like Philip Morris and stuff like that are buying out land specifically for when this legalization or this medicinal starts to occur. So that way they can start switching, or at least having a portion of what maybe used to be grown as tobacco now convert over into that. And I do agree, it will be hard to kind of control people on if they're able to grow it. But I kind of go back in my thought to the sense of, you know, a lot of people out there might have a box garden and stuff, but I'm still going to go to the grocery store to buy a lot of my produce and food. And there are certainly going to be people out there that are not going to want to spend the time trying to grow this themselves in their backyard or anything else, to where they much rather just go and buy the product already out there. So and it's interesting that you bring that up, because in Spain, they actually have it in their constitution where you're able to grow and do what you want on your property, but then it starts to get a little bit mixed if you're trying to sell it and stuff. So they allow you to grow it on your property and use it for your own use. And maybe that's something that we'll start to see here, but I think the corporations are definitely, like you said, going to try and scoop that up and control it to where they're the industry, if you will.
But I think this is going to be a war. I mean, just like in certain southern states like Tennessee and Kentucky, the moonshiners and the revenuers chasing them. One thing that is really important and that branding will bring to this space on the recreational side, on the medicinal side, branding and such not as important, because there will be quality standards. But on the recreational side, this concept of rating, of evaluation, of listing ingredients, THC content, CBD content, all these things, that's what the legal marketplace really, really brings for you there. And I'm kind of excited to see how it's going to evolve. But, you know, one thing, Allison, is look, like, a lot of these stocks are just, really major gambles. How do you pick one out that isn't a major gamble?
For me, for something like this in the industry, I like to do my homework, because it kind of similar like what we saw in the tech boom in the 90s. You know, you had Blockbuster, you had AOL, and you had big names that you might, you know, think could last forever, and they don't end up doing so. And for myself, I want to kind of do my homework to try and, you know, pick the Google or the Apple, the ones that will try and stand the test of time. And one of the ones that I've been leaning towards a bit more recently is Aurora, and they've just now recently started trading in the U.S. But just from the research I've done about that company, the reason why I lean towards that as maybe a longer-term stock pick view is because they themselves have invested in a bunch of different smaller cannabis companies. So they've almost made themselves a mini ETF.
Right.
On top of that, from some of the research I've seen, they've looked to acquire pill companies so that they can have a streamline for making it medicinal.
Mm-hmm.
They've also been in talks with Coca-Cola's on infused beverages. And so when I see companies like that talking to bigger name companies out there that, you know, have to stand still to last time, I see how they're investing within the market themselves. That to me makes me lean towards it a bit more because, one, I like the idea of it almost being a mini ETF itself because it's invested in other companies. But two, when I see names like Coca-Cola and stuff like that talking to these companies, that to me gives me a little bit more strength behind choosing that one than, you know, just choosing a random one that I've heard of out there.
Got you. Makes sense. So looking down the road a piece here, Allison, what is going to be the more profitable sector of the market? Is it going to be medical or is it going to be recreational?
It's hard to say. Right now, I would definitely lean more towards the medicinal because it does seem like there's a little bit more tolerance to that compared to the recreational. And that's why on some of these companies, you want to make sure that they're thinking about that side of the market as well. Because those are the ones that are going to be able to go into maybe those emerging countries a bit more first before they may decide to turn it recreational, even if they do. But if they don't, you know the medicinal is more than likely going to seep its way in there, and that's where the profit would probably be held. And what you could look at doing if you wanted a bit safer of a bet is take a look at some of the pharmaceutical companies out there that are actually looking to get invested in the industry, because those are the ones that are hedging their own products to try and get in there and get involved, because marijuana does have a lot of medicinal uses, as we've seen with epilepsy and everything else. And those are going to be the companies that you might want to look at getting into. If you're scared about getting into the cannabis itself, look at those other companies that are want to be involved in the industry, but maybe have more on their plate, not just fully invested in cannabis itself. Mm-hmm. And then those might be the ones that you want to look at jumping into.
Yeah. You know, the thing about the drug companies is they're like a disfavored industry now. I think they're gouging, the opioid crisis, all these things have made them really, it's kind of stigmatized the industry. Real problem there. And I just wonder if that's going to impede their efforts to get into the business.
I think it will. And I agree. The opioid crisis is a huge one concerning out there right now. And that's why for myself, if I start to see these pharmaceutical companies already leaning towards medicinal cannabis and marijuana, those are the ones I'm going to be looking towards, because we're going to see soon legislation and things like that really try and tackle this with as bad as it's become, not only, you know, in cities, but especially in Florida and rural places out there. And because of how big of a crisis it's continuing to build up into, there's going to be a lot of backlash on these pharmaceutical companies that are pushing the opiates. And so if I start to see one of those companies, you know, start to look more towards cannabis or investing into that, those are the ones that are already, as a company themselves, trying to hedge against this move away from opioids. And those are going to be the ones that will probably stand the test of time a little bit longer, in my opinion, compared to those that are, you know, trying to hold on to the opioids, because that's going, in my opinion, to probably impose in as much a crisis as it's starting to turn into in this country.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, you know, you might be right, but like I say, if they're going to try to get Medicare to pay for this and Medicaid and private insurance, I think we'll have a war. I really do. I think the anger at these companies for what they've done to the price of pharmaceuticals with little or no justification, and the concentration, the driving out of smaller competitors, people are getting wise to this. So I'm not sure about their course, but how much of a head start do you think Canadian companies have on the sector, being that it's now legal in Canada?
Oh, I think they definitely have a head start. But like I mentioned, it's almost like the beginning of, you know, the tech industry, if you will, when that started to blow up. So we're going to see companies out there, you know, fall through the cracks and not be able to survive. I think definitely Canada has a few good ones that are going to last and be the bigger ones. And it's unfortunate that America, in this case, will have to start playing catch up to those companies to try and get their foot in the ground and be a contender in the market.
Yeah, agreed. I see your point. Hey, interesting times here. People want to find out more about you, check out your research on cannabis stocks. Where is the best place to go, Allison?
SimplerTrading.com is the best place to find me.
All right, SimplerTrading.com. You will find the link in the show notes to this interview if you're already looking at them. And don't forget to send us an email, be a part of the discussion. Let us know your thoughts on this emerging global market. And that's really, we didn't say that, Allison, but it is a global market that's emerging rapidly. And that's why it's so unpredictable. And my feeling is the bigger players might have a monetary advantage, but that's it. I don't think that they're going to necessarily dominate because of their size. They got to bring something else to the table. And that's why joining with these smaller companies might be their best course of action, as well as avoiding public blowback. So simplertrading.com, find Allison's work there. Email us, kl@carrielutz.com. Any questions or comments? As always, Twitter feed, @CarrieLutz, Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. I'll be more up to date on it shortly. Kind of been ignoring it, probably out of frustration and anger towards their awful intentions towards the free market of ideas. Allison, thanks so much for coming on. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much for having me.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.